Because of a combination of factors, including an inadequate social safety net, about 10% of the state's population, around 2 million New Yorkers, are estimated to be suffering from food insecurity prior to the start of the pandemic, which means those New Yorkers didn't have reliable, consistent access to sufficient, affordable food. To address this problem over the next 4 years, Hunger Free America has released a comprehensive plan, and the group's CEO, Joel Berg, joins the Capitol Press Room to discuss the way forward with what they're recommending. Welcome to the show, Joel.
Thanks for having me on.
So before we get to the solutions, can you describe the food insecurity landscape in New York? What does food insecurity look like, and where is it particularly pervasive in the Empire State?
The unfortunate reality is food insecurity, which means people not able to afford enough food, exists in every corner of the state. It's a problem in North Country, it's a problem in Western New York and Central New York, it's a problem in New York City, and it's a problem even in the New York City suburbs, which used to be upper middle class bastions and now have a lot of people struggling with poverty. So the reality is this is a problem all over New York State, and we need a statewide solution. Bronx is the hungriest county in New York State, and no shock there, given that it's got such high poverty levels. But the next high poverty counties in New York State after Bronx and Brooklyn are Tompkins County, Montgomery County, Chautauqua County, and St. Lawrence County. And so this really is truly a statewide problem. And food insecurity in New York, people not being able to afford enough food, isn't a food distribution problem. It's an affordability problem. We have more than enough food in New York and every state in the union. People just don't earn enough to be able to buy the food they need.
Well, how has the pandemic and the economic situation caused by the arrival of COVID-19 impacted these food insecurity numbers? And what about the inflation that we've been seeing, say, in the last 6 to 9 months?
Well, worser isn't a word in the English language, but it should be. Before the pandemic, nearly 2 million New Yorkers lived in food insecure homes. And what happened in the pandemic is people who were already hungry and food insecure became hungrier and more food insecure. And the people at the edge of hunger and food insecurity in the lower middle class were pushed into hunger and food insecurity. And then on top of that, you add inflation. Now, there was a massive increase in the federal safety net. SNAP benefits, that used to be called food stamps benefits, nearly doubled in New York State. And for many low-income people, that increase in benefits is actually higher than their increase in inflation, but still it is adding insult to injury. And at least some of those benefits are going to go away due to congressional inaction.
Well, moving forward then, what's the most important step the state government can do to address food insecurity? Is it just about bigger investments in programs that subsidize the cost of food?
Well, the first thing the state can do is have a serious poverty reduction agenda. It hasn't had one in decades and decades and decades. And that means creating jobs, raising wages, caring as much about low-income people as you do about billionaire stadium owners. And it means ensuring that we have a pathway of upward mobility to people. The biggest difference between poor and hungry people isn't how much they earn, although that's vast. The biggest difference is whether they owe interest or earn interest, whether they owe or own. And so we need a really what I call a middle-class assets empowerment, middle-class wealth generation agenda that helps people enter in and stay in the middle class. That's number one. And number two, we need to make better use of the federal nutrition assistance safety net. That's the SNAP program that used to be called food stamps, the WIC program for pregnant women and children under five, school breakfast. All those things are funded 100% by the federal government. So just a little state spending to increase participation in those programs would generate far, far, far more than that in food benefits to people. And the safety net programs, SNAP and WIC, they help stores. They don't compete with stores. They help farmers markets. They don't compete with farmers markets. They're a voucher program that really aids the private economy. So it really is sort of backwards that the state, leaders tend to lavish money on emergency food programs, and those play a critical role in filling in the gaps, but they do not give the money necessary to support the efforts to increase access to the federally funded safety net. And so first and foremost, it's about creating jobs and reducing poverty and raising wages, and two, making sure that the federal safety net programs like SNAP, WIC, and school breakfast are better utilized.
Well, what does it mean to make state investments to ensure better participation in the federal programs?
Well, for instance, there is a program called the NOAP program that goes through the State Office of Temporary Disability Assistance and then is re-granted through a group, Hunger Solutions New York, a great statewide group. And then groups around the state get sub-grants from them to really help people sign up for SNAP. Hunger Free America gets one of those small, you know, sub-grants. A similar program helped people sign up for WIC. So what it does is it gives money to nonprofit groups. We do outreach in the community. We pre-screen people for benefits to find out if they're eligible. And if they are eligible, we literally help submit their applications on their behalf. People speak multiple languages. There are hardworking immigrants who are playing by the rules and who are eligible for these, legal immigrants who are eligible for these programs. They may not speak English well. And so our job and other nonprofits that get such funding really can help bridge the gap. In the last budget deal, the Assembly put in $2 million more for that program. And yet the final budget deal only had $1 million more for that program. And the same budget is spending tens of millions of dollars extra on emergency food distribution. They're really not seeing the forest through the trees sometimes.
For listeners just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Joel Berg, CEO of Hunger Free America. So when it comes to those federal programs that are designed to address food insecurity, are they covering enough of New Yorkers who might be experiencing food insecurity? Is the eligibility for these wide enough, or are they too narrowly casting a net so that people who might be experiencing food insecurity might not be eligible, whether because of their income or other factors in their life?
According to the USDA Economic Research Service, nearly half the people in America who are food insecure or struggle against hunger don't access federal programs like SNAP and WIC and school meals. Sometimes they're not eligible because they don't have kids, so they wouldn't get school meals. But for SNAP and WIC, there are many immigrants who are working hard at underpaid jobs, doing some of the most important, dangerous work in America. For instance, construction has the highest fatality rate of any profession in America, and they're not eligible for, you know, SNAP. Also, there are working families who are making just above the SNAP cutoff line. And so there is a real penalty to people who are working hard and playing by the rules. And so we need to eliminate the benefits cliff, and we need to change federal law so that if people are still struggling to put food on the table, they're not penalized for working. They're not penalized for getting a raise. They're not penalized for taking a second job. Certainly, no one should lose food because they're working more hours.
Assuming the federal government is not going to cover those people who are, you know, looking at that benefits cliff, should the state come in and fund these types of programs, these things that address food insecurity for people who are experiencing food insecurity and aren't eligible to receive federal benefits?
Absolutely. The state should fill in the gaps. California as filled in the gaps with a special program, assuming New York's trying. I meant then that means the state of New York should be able to supplement those funds and do it around the state. You know, we have dozens of billionaires in this state. We should be able to get enough money to make sure we feed our hungry citizens. And it'll save money in the long run. Our schools aren't going to be well functioning if so many kids can't eat. To be schooled, you must be fueled. To be well-read, you must be well-fed. Right now, New York State has a very low school breakfast participation rate. So that's something else the state needs to do.
Yeah. Can you elaborate on that issue with free school breakfast and that issue with the enforcement of this federal requirement?
Well, there is the eligibility of schools to participate in school breakfast. Some rural and suburban schools don't even do it in New York. And then there's the requirement under state law that they're supposed to be providing breakfast in the classroom, in the first period classroom, or with grab and go breakfast. That's not enforced. New York City has the lowest school breakfast participation rate out of any big city in the United States. Half the kids in New York City who get school lunch don't get school breakfast. And so we need the state to better enforce the mandate that schools really make sure breakfast is adequately provided to the students and provide adequate technical assistance and funding to states to do it.
During the pandemic, there was an emphasis on connecting farms, which had unused produce, to food banks that had dramatically increased needs. And there's been, a permanent funding stream set up for that. Do you think the state could be doing more to get unused produce to needy New Yorkers? Or have we essentially exhausted this as a means to addressing food insecurity?
The state certainly can do more to get produce that otherwise would have been thrown out to hungry people. One of the things I've written about is we need more regional food processing capability. Some of our food is actually still transported to the Midwest to be processed, or in some cases, even the West Coast, and that's insane. So we should be getting more fresh produce to low-income New Yorkers, but also doing better to process the food locally and regionally so it can go be given out for free. It can be, schools can buy it, prisons and hospitals can buy it. And then there should be discount, processed fruits and vegetables, which can still be very healthy, available at low cost to consumers.
You mentioned that the issue isn't about having enough food for everyone. It's about getting that food to people. But in terms of getting food, healthy food to people, we often hear about this issue of food deserts where people can't buy healthy food even if they want to. Are they still prevalent in New York? And if they are, how does the state go about addressing them?
Food deserts are a serious problem in rural, suburban, and parts of urban New York. I think some people have exaggerated the impact of food deserts because the bottom line is if you have enough money, you're going to be able to get food delivered to your home, or you're going to have enough gas to go slightly further to get your food. So the most important thing we need to do is increase the purchasing power of people for food. But also we are addressing food deserts in other creative ways. For instance, Hunger Free America recently started a project with the for-profit food company Tangela that's offering discounted food packages, healthy food packages, sort of a blue apron for low-income people, meal kits delivered to people's homes that you can pay for with SNAP food stamps. And a small cut of every one of those transactions is going to Hunger Free America. So we think these are some of the public-private partnerships that can really move the bar, and we need the state to do more to promote such things. We're very glad that Governor Hochul recently signed into law a direction that the state OTDA apply to USDA to get select restaurants in the restaurant meals program. So people with disabilities, seniors, and homeless people in select areas can be able to use their SNAP benefits, their food stamps benefits at restaurant. And we think that's an important step forward the governor took.
And finally, you recently solicited input from the gubernatorial candidates on some key food issues. Did any of their answers stand out to you, either for good or ill? And were there any recurring responses that you got that either signified the candidates are getting the issue or don't get the issue?
Well, I would say that Governor Hochul, Congressman Suozzi, County Executive Astorino, Mr. Giuliani, and Public Advocate Williams all either engaged in our in-person on Zoom form or answered our questionnaires. Because we are a nonpartisan nonprofit group, I would say we cannot legally opine on whose answers were better or worse. All I can say is that the answers were dramatically different. Some of the candidates basically implied that you just need to get government out of the way and that the free market will somehow magically fix these problems. Other candidates had a detailed plan of how to reduce poverty and to use the federal safety net funded by federal tax funds that is underutilized in New York, how to better utilize that to feed hungry people. So I urge all your listeners to go to hungerfreeamerica.org and read the answers for yourself, and you can decide who gave the better answers, and you can decide what to make of the fact that Congressman Zeldin was the only candidate to refuse to participate either in our forum or our online questionnaire.
Well, we've been speaking with Hungry Free America CEO Joel Berg. Joel, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for covering this.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.